Well, good morning. We're glad that you're here, and as already been mentioned, we're kicking off a new series called More Than Words, and we specifically are going to focus in on the Bible, God's Word, and we want to kick that off this morning. Let me give you some things about the Bible that maybe you know, maybe you don't know. The Bible is the most read book in all of history. It's the best-selling book in history. It's the most translated book in history. And yet the question we want to answer this morning is this: why is it the Word of God? And not only why is it the Word of God, how do you and I know that it's the Word of God? How can you and I come to a point of where we say that it's without flaw, it's without error, it's perfect, and that it needs to be the ultimate standard in every man, every woman's life? How can we do that? Now, what I want you to know is these next 4 weeks is going to change your life. And so I encourage you to make a commitment to come every week, because there's a lot of stuff out there about God's Word. And most of the people who are against God's Word, they don't even understand God's Word. And so they end up making statements that just are not accurate and not true. Here's what I want you to get this morning. If you have a weak view of Scripture, if you kind of say, well, it's a good book, you know, I go to it every now and then, it has some good stuff in it. But if you have that weak view of it and you don't view it as the authority of your life and that it's flawless, then what happens is you won't approach it in that way. You'll just go to it from time to time. And I promise you that if you have a weak view of Scripture, you'll have a weak interest in Scripture. But if you view God's Word as the ultimate authority, one in which you and I are called to come under, then you will find yourself running to God's Word. And you will begin to say, you know what, I'm going to make time. I want to know everything that I possibly can about this book, because it's going to become the foundation of my life. Because God's Word addresses the issues of life. I like to say that it is the manual for life. Look what it says here in 2 Timothy. All Scripture, and all means what? All the time, okay? So all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What does that mean, training in righteousness? It means training in right living. Would you agree with me that we don't do life very well? I mean, all you have to do is look at our lives. We just don't do life very well. And the reason is because we're not trained in righteousness. So he says, training in righteousness so that all of God's people may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow. What he is saying here is that God's Word has been given to you and me to train us in how to live right and equip us so that we are ready for every good work. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. How many of us feel that way? How many of, bring it on, man. I'm ready. I'm equipped for anything that life throws at me. No, most of us are insecure. We settle. We are afraid. We're scared. And yet God says, hey, you know what? My book, my word will equip you for every good work so that you will be confident, not arrogant, but confident about life and about the things that life throws at you. The psalmist writes it like this: all of your commands can be what? Trusted. All of your commands, not some of them, every single one of them can be trusted. Now, it's one thing for the Bible to claim that it's the Word of God. And it's one thing for the Bible to say that it can be trusted. But how do we really know that? How do you really know that? Am I expecting you just to take my word that this is God's Word and that you can build your life upon it? That it's not just a bunch of fables or a bunch of stories that are put together, but that it's valid and it's legitimate and it's important, and that you and I need to be able to study the Word so that we can live life to the fullest? So how do I know I can trust this? Well, Time magazine, from time to time, you know, they will put the Bible on its cover, because they're intrigued by it. And they'll ask questions like this: how true is the Bible? One time they ask, is the Bible fact or fiction? And this morning we want to answer that question because there are incredible proofs, incredible pieces of evidence and facts that will give you and I the confidence that this is God's word and it's something that you and I can build our life upon and never have to worry about whether it's right or whether it's wrong, but that it's always true and you and I can trust it. Now, the Bible actually makes some incredible claims for itself, and this morning, to kick off this series, More Than Words, I want us to look at them. Let me give you the first one. I can trust the Bible because it's accurate historically. It's accurate historically. The Bible is historically accurate, and for that reason, I know I can trust the Bible. Now, the Bible is doctrinally correct, but it's more than that. It's not just theologically correct, but it is accurate in its history. It's not just accurate regarding morals and regarding ethics. It's true history. Real people, real places, real time. It's true historically. Now, why is that important? Well, the Bible tells us that it's impossible for God to lie, that he cannot lie. You know, sometimes when people will say, are there anything that God cannot do? Well, yeah, he cannot lie. And so history is accurate all throughout the Bible. You see, the only reason why the universe works is because God is a God of truth, which means stuff is true, what? All the time. It's not just true today, but it's true tomorrow. It'll be true next week. It'll be true next year. Can you imagine, for instance, if the law of gravity only worked on Tuesdays and Thursdays? We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? But the fact of the matter is, God is true. And you and I can trust God's word because historically it's accurate. It's accurate. The law of physics are true. God thought them up. He's the one who created them. Look what it says here in Psalms 33, 4. The word of the Lord is what? Right and true. You see, there's not a lie in God's word. It is true from cover to cover. And we know that because it's accurate historically. You know, now the question becomes, how do you know that? How do we know that the Bible is historically accurate? Well, the same way that you know that any other history is accurate. A good test of history is eyewitnesses. And for instance, one of the ways in which you test that history is accurate is by the eyewitness accounts. And as a historian would say, is it written down by someone who saw it? Or is it secondhand or thirdhand? Or is it just a legend that's been written down 100 years later? Well, the Bible is recorded primarily through eyewitnesses, and that's why it's good history. It's good history. It was written by people who literally saw it. The other test of history by which we know that the Bible is accurate is the extreme care in which the Bible was copied. I mean, it was copied in an unbelievable way. Xerox, if you will, okay? You know, they measured certain columns. They had certain amount of words. And not only the words, but they had certain amount of letters. And what they would do is they would go back and they would count the letters. And then they would count the letters again to make sure that it was accurate and that it was complete. And so they were very, very precise in doing it. And I know that some people struggle with that. Matter of fact, many people struggled with it until the Dead Sea Scrolls came along. And when the Dead Sea Scrolls came along in the early 40s, guess what? They found out that everything in this book was accurate. The Dead Sea Scrolls contained all the books except Esther. And they found out that, you know what? It was right there. And all of a sudden, they got to check out how much happened and how accurately it was recorded. Which brings me to another way in which we see that the history is accurately recorded is archaeology. You know, it seems like every time they find something, they go back and they found out that, you know what, it was in God's word. You know, one of the things about history is the Hittites. I don't know if you ever heard of them. But for years, they thought that that was a group of people that never existed until they were digging one day. And they found out that, you know what, there was a whole nation of people called the Hittites. They found out where they lived, and all it did was affirm the fact that God's word is true and that what God's word said hundreds of years ago was true. And so I can trust the Bible because it's accurate historically, but not only historically, but scientifically as well. Scientifically as well. And this is where much misunderstanding happens, because people think that the Bible is scientifically inaccurate, which means that they've never studied the Bible and probably don't know much about science. Because the truth is, God is the one who has set up the laws of science and has made sure that His word does not contradict the laws of science. Now, the Bible was not given to be a scientific book, obviously. You don't study the Bible in order to learn how to build a rocket or an airplane. Would you agree with me? And the Bible doesn't use scientific language. But listen, the Bible never gives bad science. Never. Not once in over 1,600 years in which this book was written has it given bad science. Matter of fact, you know what? It's always ahead of science. Always ahead of science. And there are things in the Bible that the Bible has stated as being true, and they have been discovered hundreds of years later, 200 years, even 300 years later. And it's the same way in civics. You know, what happens is you end up discovering what God has said many, 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 many years ago. Now, there was an author in the 1800s, I believe it was around 1860, who wrote a book, 51 Scientific Reasons Why the Bible Isn't True. You know what? You can't find a scientist today who would agree with that book. Because all of them now have been what? Disproven. They're not true. Now, one of the reasons why we know that the Bible is true is because it's accurate scientifically. Now, let me give you a couple of things. The first one is the world is what? We all know the world is round, right? That's not always been the case in everybody's thinking. Many, 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 many years, people thought that the world was flat. They just thought it was flat. And it wasn't until, you know, Columbus and his buddies, okay, found out that the world was round. It was a sphere. It was a ball. And so you would expect the Bible to say that the world was flat, right? Because in the day that the Bible was being written, everybody thought it was flat. But that's not true. You cannot find one single verse in God's word that would say that the world was flat. But you can find a verse to say that it was round. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 40, 22. Some 2,600 years later, God is enthroned above the seer on the earth. Wow. See, what happened is science would have been much further ahead if they would have just what? Read God's word. Read God's word. You know, one of the other areas of science, at one time thought that there was a limited amount of stars, that there were only so many stars. And yet, listen to what Jeremiah 33, 22 says. The number of stars are infinite. Many. And we know that now. You can't count all the stars. And I could go on and on and on and on. Let me give you one more. For many years, people believed that too much blood in your body would make you sick. And so they would bleed you, especially when you got sick. Matter of fact, George Washington died because of that. He literally had heart trouble, but they thought if they would bleed him that they would get the sickness out of him. And yet Leviticus 17, 11 says that life is found in the blood. It's amazing. You could just go on and on and on, and you can find out where the Bible has stated something of where science has had to catch up to it. Look what it says here in Psalms 12, 6. The word of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. And so I can trust the Bible because it's accurate historically and scientifically, but also prophetically. Prophetically. It's accurate prophetically. Now, what does that mean? It means that the prediction in the Bible always comes true. Always comes true. The Bible is filled with literally thousands and thousands of prophecy where God says, this is going to happen. And over the centuries, guess what? They have been fulfilled. And they're being fulfilled exactly the way in which God stated them to be. Now, some of them have yet to be filled, but many of them, hundreds of them, have already been filled. And one of the main ones is Christ himself. 700 years before Christ was even born, Isaiah prophesied about him coming and how he would come and where he would be born and how he would die. All of that right here in God's word. And guess what? It all came true. Look what it says here in 2 Peter. No prophecy ever originated from humans. Instead, it was given by the Holy Spirit as humans spoke under God's direction. That's why Paul told Timothy, all of God's scripture is what? God breathed. And then Matthew 26, 56, look what it says here. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in scripture. Now, you and I can trust the Bible because it's accurate historically, scientifically, and prophetically. Now, here's what you need to understand about prophecy. They had to come true, every piece of them, every part of them. You see, in biblical days, not too many people wanted to be a prophet. We have a lot of people wanting to be a prophet today, but not in biblical days. You know why? Because if I would announce that there would be 3 cows coming into this place this morning, and one would be black, and one would be white, and the other one would be black and white, but the one that is black and white would have 13 spots on it, and it came in, and there were 12 spots on it, you would stone me. You see, when you were prophetic, you don't go with 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Didn't work in biblical days. If you didn't get it right on target, you know what? You were announced as a false prophet. And people had the right to stone you. And I'm not talking about going to Joe's Bar, okay? I'm talking about with rocks. That's how serious God is for those who speak on his behalf. And that's the seriousness of God's word. That's why you and I can have full confidence in knowing that God's word is the ultimate standard because it's accurate historically, scientifically, and prophetically. Let me give you another thought. The other one is it's singular in theme. It's singular in theme. It's unified. All throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it's one theme, and it is the redemption of God. The redemption of God. And Jesus is the star. And it's unified in its theme. Now, what's the big deal about that? You might say, well, hey, I know a lot of books that carry the same theme from chapter 1 and to the end of the chapter. Well, the Bible was written over 1,600 years with 40 different authors in 3 different countries. And they all carried the same theme. Wow. How do you think they got that? How do you think they carried the same story? 40 different authors, 3 different countries, over 1,600 years. And it wasn't collected as a canon until thousands of years later. Well, look what it says here in Luke 24, 27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all of the scripture concerning who? Himself. One central theme. One singular theme. One unified theme. And so from Genesis all the way to Revelation, there's one theme. And it's about God's love, God's redemption through the person of Jesus Christ. But you know what else? I can trust the Bible not only because it has a singular theme that goes over 1,600 years, written by 40 different people in three different areas, but I can believe the Bible and I can trust the Bible because it's affirmed by Jesus himself. It's affirmed by Jesus himself. Jesus trusted the Bible. Now, you may hear people say something like this: well, I trust what Jesus has to say, but I'm not for sure about the other guys. And what you need to understand is Jesus trusted the whole Bible. He trusted all of Scripture. And so if I trust Jesus Christ, then I have to trust the rest of the Bible. I have to trust the rest of the Scripture because Jesus did. Look what it says here in Matthew 5:18. This is Jesus speaking. Because he believed in the prophets, and he talked about the prophets being real. Here's what he said: I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of pen will disappear from the law until everything is what? Accomplished. And so when Jesus talked about the Bible, he talked about it as being a real book. He talked about it as experiencing real people in real places by a real God who's really at work in the lives of men and women. Now here's an interesting thing. Jesus mentions Noah and Adam and Eve and even Sodom and Gomorrah and Jonah as real people, real things that happened. And so Jesus, okay, affirmed all of these stories. You might say, well, how did a fish swallow Jonah? I don't know. I don't know, but I tell you what, if Jesus Christ affirms it, I'm going to believe it. You know why? Because anyone who died and came back to life, I'm trusting them. All of the other critics of the Bible, okay, in the 100 years before us are what? Are dead. Okay? Are dead. You can go and you can see their grave, and they're dead. Christ is not dead. And I'm going to believe the guy who has conquered death. And so the reason why I trust the Bible is because it's affirmed by Jesus Christ. And if Jesus really believed in Jonah, and he believed it happened, and I don't fully understand it, I'm still going to trust in it because Jesus trusts in it. And you can come up with whatever you want to, but I'm going to believe the guy who has conquered death and says, you know what, this is true. Let me give you another one. I can believe the Bible is true because it has withstood all of the attacks, and it makes it an unusual book. Do you know that the Bible is the most despised book, most denied book, most disputed book, most dissected book, most debated book, most outlawed book, most destroyed book, most banned book ever in history? And millions of people have died because they refused to give up this book. People have been killed because they refused to renounce this book. It's illegal in some countries. In some countries, if you are caught with this book, they will kill you. They will take your life. And yet it's still one of the most read books in all of the world. Or it is. Let me put it that way. Look what Matthew tells us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Listen, the only thing that's going to last forever is God's word. That's the only thing. Because it's eternal and because it's truth. Peter says it like this: the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And so, you know what? I believe that the Bible is true and I can trust it. Because it's not only affirmed by Jesus, but it has withstood all of the attacks that mankind has thrown at it. Let me give you this last one. I believe that the Bible is true because it transforms people. It transforms people. This book here is powerful. It's powerful. Nothing changes the lives of men and women like this book. And many of us here this morning would say, you know what? My life has been changed because of this book. You know what? You have marriage problems? Read this book. Let me tell you why there's so many divorces in our world today. It's because you're going on your opinion and your thoughts instead of God's thoughts and God's word and God's opinion. Y'all okay on that one? It's just the truth. You want a great parenting book? Right here it is. You want a great financial book? Right here it is. You want to know how to do life? Right here it is. It's there. And tens and thousands of people's lives have been changed. I've seen flat-out drunks, irresponsible addicts, get their life clean and sober up because they started reading the Bible. I've seen the most self-centered, prideful man or woman come and begin to read God's Word, and it transforms them in a way that no one can understand and no one can comprehend. I've just seen people over the years begin to read God's Word and begin to accept it and begin to listen to it and follow it and obey it and apply it, and it's changed their life. You see, listen, this is the only book that ultimately can change a person's heart. Being a politician can't do it, because if that was possible, I would have become a politician. Hello? Okay? Being an educator can't do it, because if it would have been an educator, I would have went there. Now, here's what we have in the education world, okay? What we have in the education world, you can go to colleges and they'll basically tell you this part. They will say that the truth will what? Set you free. The only problem with them saying that is they quote only half of the verse. Look at what the whole verse says here. This is incredible. It says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And the what? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, what happens is they only get part of it. They say, well, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. And yet God's word says, if you continue in it, you are my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why? Because this book here never lies to you. Even when I don't like what it says, even when I disagree with it, even when it hurts, even when it's uncomfortable, it always tells me the truth. Do you have anybody else in your life who will do that for you? No. We don't. Y'all right on that one? We all lie to one another. You okay on that one? Because sometimes the truth is uncomfortable. Sometimes the truth, what? Hurts. And yet, you know what? God's word is steadfast. No matter how uncomfortable it is, God will always tell us the truth. No matter if it stings, no matter if it hurts you, it will always tell you the truth. And so here's the question that I have for us this morning. What is going to be the final authority in your life? You get to decide. And I would recommend today that you decide. Is it going to be God's word, or is it going to be the world? Am I going to listen to what God has to say, or am I going to listen to public opinion, or am I going to go with my feelings? Who's going to be the authority in your life? Is it going to be God, or is it going to be you? Because here's what I believe. When I say I really don't accept the Bible, it's not that you can't accept the Bible. It's not that I can't accept the Bible. It's that I don't want to accept the Bible. Because it's beyond a reasonable doubt. All of the evidence pushes towards that this is God's word and it's flawless. It's inerrant. It's the living word of God. And really, let's just be real with one another this morning. The reason why I don't want to accept it is not because of lack of evidence. The reason why is because I want to be God. I want to be God. I want to be the God of my own life. And I don't want God telling me what is right and what is wrong. I don't want God telling me what is moral and what is immoral. I don't want that. I want to decide that for my own. And so the fact of the matter is, you know what? We don't reject the Bible because there's lack of evidence. We reject the Bible because we want to be God. So let me ask you a question this morning as we wrap up. So how's that working for you? How's that working for you? Has all of your stress and worry and irritations vanished because you're God? If you're God and you're in charge, how's that working for you and your life? How's it working for your marriage? How's it working for your mental state? How's it working for your family? Is things turning out the way that you want them to? And you would just say, hey, you know what? I wouldn't change a thing. I don't think so. You know why? Because listen, maximum freedom is found under the authority of God's word. And for you, for me, for any of us to rebel against God's word, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. You're not going to win that battle. I'm not going to win that battle. So the question becomes, who's going to be the authority in your life? Is it going to be this book that's flawless, infallible, God's word? Or is it going to be your word? Or the opinions and the thoughts of the world? You see, listen, if this book right here is not true, you and I are in a whole lot of trouble. I mean, if this book is not completely true, then all we have here this morning is a therapy class. And we're lying to ourselves, we're lying to one another, and you know what? Life isn't real. Because if there's any untruth in this book, then it opens it up for all of it to be untrue. That's why God has gone to such measures to let you know that it's accurate historically, scientifically, prophetically, and on down the line. And so let me close with this last verse. Look what it says here. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. It's talking about the way in which the world thinks, the world's views and opinions and attitudes. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that you're either a conformist or a transformist. You're either conforming to the way the world thinks or you're being transformed by God's truth. He goes on to say, then you will be able to test. You will be able to know. That's how you make good decisions, right? Got to have good information. Then you will be able to know and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So here's what I want you to know. God has an incredible life for you. He has an incredible plan for you, and it's right here. The question is, are you going to trust yourself? You're going to trust other people, or are you going to trust God? Would you pray with me? This morning, you know, I would encourage you to make a deliberate choice and to be able to say, you know what, God, today I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust that the Bible is your word and that it's inerrant, it's flawless, it's infallible. It's true, and I'm going to build my life upon it. I'm going to make my decisions by it. You can pray something like this. Just pray, dear God, in your heart, dear God, from this day forward, I will accept the Bible as your flawless word to me. I will make it the final authority for my life. Not what the TV says, not what the magazines say, not what I feel like doing, or what I think sounds right. I'm going to make your word, the Bible, the final authority for my life. Even when I don't understand it, even when it's not popular, even when it's not easy, or I don't even like it, because you are God and I am not. Thank you, God, for loving me enough to speak to me through your word and not being silent. And so, Father, I just pray today that we would settle this question once and for all, that your word is true, it's dependable. And may we embrace it, and may we study it, and may we apply it. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Let me just encourage you to settle once and for all how you view this book. Because I guarantee you this, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And if you look at our world today, you know what? We're emotionally wrecked people. I mean, we're emotionally distraught. And the reason why is because we're divided in the way in which we think. Well, should I believe this, or well, should I believe that, or what should I do? And what happens is, again, this is the Bible speaking. The Bible already has declared, you know what? You're going to be emotionally wrecked. Because when your mind and your thoughts are pulled in two different directions, it just pulls you apart. So this is not a fable, okay? This is not a good book. It's not the good book. It's the Holy Bible. And all of us are going to give an account to this book. And you have to settle it in your heart and mind. And most people who say, well, I don't know if I believe everything in the Bible. Do you know everything in the Bible? No, but I don't know if I believe. You ever heard somebody say that? You know what they're really saying? I want to be God. I want to be God. And you know what? There's parts of the Bible that makes me uncomfortable. There's parts of the Bible that speaks maybe to an area of my life that's not in a right position. And I just soon do anything and everything I can to announce that I don't believe it. But the fact of the matter is, it still doesn't change that it's true. Still doesn't change that you and I are going to give an account. So I just want to strongly encourage you. It's more than words. It's more than words. It's more than a good story. It's the living Word of God. Hey, I love you. Have a great day. God bless you.